All day.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
I'd like sweet meat.
It's about fucking time
I gotta pull the tubing off of the hot end and it wouldn't come off.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are like it bad. For the show, then go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see channels and Linux, they love net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the gala's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1147 of Link's Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Hello.
And I want to apologize for last week. It was one of those things where after hours work problem, which didn't it always happens like this. The problem doesn't start after hours. The problem kind of starts like
15 minutes before work ends.
Well, the problem started like around 10:40 in the morning and didn't get alerted. We didn't get alerted to it until around 5 o'clock. Well, I'm going to say it was probably around 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I didn't get called in until close to 5. So... What had ended up happening was, when I got called in, they were trying to figure out why there was a bunch of what they're called fronts that were broken, and they were seeing a lot of errors in the logs, like more so than usual, but not, they weren't being reported as errors. They were being reported as, values coming back null from the API, which should be a JSON object, but it was coming back as an empty object. And they were not errors per se, in what was coming back. It was just reported as a debug message. And so when this was called to their attention around 3:34 o'clock, they were looking into it. And then they decided that they were going to push the latest release of the function. So the function that was throwing this error was not at the latest release. There, was a few months in between releases. And by and large, the majority of the changes that happened in those few months were library updates from when I re-enabled Dependabot, which was updating libraries. So, given that the application in and of itself didn't really have any changes, they thought that by pushing the new version, like maybe there was something wrong with the container was stale or something. I don't know. They decided to push a new version. That pushed out an updated version of, Kai, which is, what we replaced Got, which is kind of the, HTTP networking module, for doing like curl. Think of it like curl. It has that same kind of functionality. And, when they did that, they started actually getting errors. So the older version of Kai, which was like 1.4, when it received an empty object in a request, if the response was empty, it would just put out a debug message. It wasn't really flagging it as an error, but the new version of Kai did flag it as an error, and it gave this a kind of esoteric error that didn't really give us much information, but we kind of knew that we were getting empty objects back. And I noticed that because our staging and development environments had been updated a couple of weeks before, I could see those same messages coming through starting at around 10:40 in the morning. So then what ended up transpiring was a few hours of trying to get adequate logging out of the KY or Kai response so that we can determine that the problem wasn't on our end, that it was on the API end and trying to figure out a way that we can replicate it. Because when we would try these requests outside of the function, it wouldn't have a problem or didn't appear to have a problem. So that took a couple of hours of fiddling with because, we were logging, but there was just trying to figure out like exactly what it is that we needed to log out of this to prove that the problem wasn't coming from our end, because it was getting an empty object, but we weren't completely sure that it was getting an empty object. Holy or whatever. Shit. Yeah, flying rich there. So what we had to do, once we got that logging in place and we could prove it and get the information that we can start trying to replicate the problem outside, what would end up happening is one guy, and he lives in Maryland, he was able to reliably replicate the problem on one of the assets. But interestingly enough, myself and my boss, I live in Virginia. He lives in Maryland too. What was happening with that was we were successful in the request, but the other guy was not. So that was looking like, hey, there's something going on the network side. Like Fastly didn't seem to have any problems. So we were able to engage API services probably around 8 o'clock to get that in. They came in. They weren't seeing a problem on their side. But what it turned out to be was there, it was a Fastly issue. And so caching with Fastly, was bringing back null objects, but it wasn't widespread. It was in certain areas. And it just so happened that if the request ended up going to a POP that was having this problem, it was coming back a null object, but I was going somewhere else, hitting a different POP, and somebody was hitting a different POP. So we were looking at like a significant number of errors because of this problem. So we had to switch to the no caching endpoint, which resolved it around 9 o'clock. We were finished. So I apologize for not being here, but we're here for Linux's 35th anniversary or birthday. And I see Flying Rich has flown in here. Sir.
Hey, Rich.
Can't hear you, man.
But it is Linux's 35th year. Joel's not even using it anymore, right, Joel?
No, I'm using it right now.
He's a Mac user now.
I have a Mac, yes. But I'm using Cache right now. And I got a Raspberry Pi OS on my Raspberry Pi 5.
So what do you guys think about the 10% market share?
For 10% market share for Linux?
For Linux, yeah.
Or to Steam. Wait, was that reported by? Who was that reported by? I forget.
Oh, I gotta check it again.
Because I read that like a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a few weeks now.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
I mean, at the beginning of the year, it was like 5%.
You know, and maybe you know this because I read about it, but I didn't like see the full statistics and everything.
That counter, but is PC World is saying that no, it didn't actually hit it. It's blamed on bots.
Well, how so? How's that blamed? You mean?
PC World is saying that Cloudflare's human only. Hold on. Let me post the article, I guess, to the chat. Because I just saw this literally while looking up that it was that counter's methodology being flawed that showed it as 10%.
Because they're not accounting for human only, right?
Yeah.
So these are 10%
market
bots.
Share milestone among desktop PCs in North America. That counter astonishes. Blah 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 blah.
Well, that makes sense. Linux bots and AI crawlers. I can buy that. Pretty soon, you know what? It's going to be interesting. Pretty soon, it's going to be like 90% of the traffic on the internet because ain't nobody going to be able to do anything anymore on it. Right.
It's all
going to
be AI. And
so I was thinking about this today with Linux 35th birthday. And of course, this is absolutely anecdotal, but when in my day to day experience, and I don't see people using computers, laptops, and desktops like they used to. And schools here, every student has a Chromebook, and teachers all have Apple's MacBooks. And where I work, it's predominantly developers have MacBooks. Now, some of the salespeople and everything have Windows machines. But by and large, I see more people and I encounter more people on a daily basis who are using their phones or their tablets, and Chromebooks and Macs. I don't see a lot of people using Windows. Now, comparatively speaking. So I'm wondering, is the market share, like, is it possible that some of that market share, because the traditional users of Windows might not be using Windows anymore or using traditional computers and laptops, and where they are, it's either phones, which I don't think any phone is running Microsoft's OS anymore, is it?
No.
And a lot of tablet devices are iPad has the market on that, don't they? And Chromebooks, significant number. So is there an erosion overall of the PC market? Is any of that reported in these statistics, or is it still going strong? And
the corporate world runs Microsoft.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do on some devices, you know, like we have a fair amount of Windows servers, mostly in the managed clouds area, but a lot of our other things, our SaaS is almost all completely Linux now.
But, all right, you're looking at the wrong population. We are not the corporate world. We are the tech. But you're talking, you know, the C-level execs, all the other clerical people, they're running Windows. That's what they know.
Granted, we're allowed to select which platform, like for our personal machines, we're allowed to select which ones we use. And I, of course, chose the Mac because I want something stable and doesn't have, that's not completely rife with the fucking spyware, like Windows 11 is just horrible at. I have Windows on the laptop still, mostly for games, but I hardly ever boot it up anymore.
Well, I get that the corporate world still uses Windows, but the education market, the home user, they seem
education
to be moving.
Market.
What?
I say education market's probably Chromebooks or MacBook.
Well, I know a lot of, and again, I'm speaking anecdotally around here, a lot of all the schools, Newport News and everything, it's Chromebooks, and the teachers have Apple products, you know, and so I know, having worked in the education system a couple decades ago, it was predominantly Microsoft. It started off big. Apple was really big. And then up until like OS 10 started taking off, Microsoft really got in there for a bit. And now I don't even see it. But I could be completely wrong. You know, I don't know. And I'm just curious as to whether that's the case. And if it starts eating into those statistics, like maybe it really doesn't change the Linux desktop share, because I don't know what Chromebooks and certain Android devices are, whether they get lumped under Linux or not, or if it's just under Android, and Chrome OS.
Right. Course you got the Google Book coming up, which is the combination of Chrome OS and Android, and it's specifically targeting AI, so it's going to have Gemini all over it.
And isn't that going to be high end though?
No, it's not actually. I think it's supposed to be $899. I think. Hold on.
Okay, that's high end. Like I'm talking about.
No.
What do you mean no?
Well, high end for what? Well, dude,
for the consumer market.
Think about,
I
would say mid possibly high end, because not every. I'll tell you this: my dad's not going to buy an $800 laptop. He's going to be closer to buying a $1,500 laptop. Why? I don't know. Because it's my dad. Because my dad thinks he needs this super powerful gaming machine when he really doesn't. You know, and that's where a lot of people are. You know, they'll buy more hardware than they think they need.
Are they buying more hardware than they think they need, or are they spending that money on a phone and not buying a
Chromebook or a laptop? Very good point.
Or a desktop.
That's a very, very good point. You know, so let's see. Actually, it doesn't say what the price is. So I was trying to look here, but yeah, and I know, like, my dad, you know, well, guys, kind of a similar argument here. Foldable phones, you know, which is supposed to be their foldable. And I saw an article just today. It says 75% of people aren't interested in the iPhone Fold or the iPhone Ultra. All right. Well, part of the, and here's my biggest problem with buying a foldable now, besides the price, is because you're paying a premium for a foldable now, right? But in every case, and I just thought of this today because there's rumors on what the camera is going to look like on the iPhone Ultra. But the latest Google Pixel Fold, the 11 one that just came out, has a worse camera than the Pixel 11 Pro XL. All right, so why do I want to buy that? The only reason would be for the foldable screen, and it costs more. And I'd rather have the better camera, not to mention the fact that the better durability. All right, but so
yeah, but they're improving. I mean,
yeah, well,
gotten
thing
a
is,
lot
every well, the foldables have gotten a lot better, correct? But everyone, including Samsung, doesn't have the best camera that you can get on their foldables.
Agreed, and they don't have the best features yet either.
Nope.
The only thing that they have is a larger screen and the ability to fold.
Right. So, but my dad. Being my dad, he bought a Samsung Fold. My brother has either the Samsung Fold or the Pixel Fold. I'm not sure which one. My brother, as much as I want one, I can't justify the cost of it. Not that it costs that much, because it doesn't. He bought the Pixel tablet. I can't justify it because one, it's right now, even though they still sell it, it's several generations behind what's in the current Pixel phones.
I know lots of people that buy tablets and then they just use their phone and the tablet sits off in the corner.
Yes, this is true too. It's, in some areas, correct. Now me, you know, I use my tablet constantly.
For what?
Yeah. So.
For what?
Mostly consumption. It's basically like a TV for me.
Where?
You know,
Where are you at that you don't have a computer in front of you, a TV in front of you, a phone in front of you?
At the gym, I like to use a tablet versus my phone to watch stuff if I'm simply walking. Now, if I'm running, forget that. I can't run and watch it, you know.
No, but, like me, I recently purchased this thing that allows me mount my phone to the treadmill,
right?
Which is awesome.
Yeah,
so I just strap the mount onto the treadmill, and I start going, and I'll watch an episode of Farscape or something.
Mm-hmm.
It works out great. But my phone, you know, it's almost as big as what tablets used to be back in the day.
That's true, too, in a lot of cases, yeah. Well, see, because that's also the other thing, too, because I'm considering upgrading my phone pretty soon. And I'm debating whether I go – it's going to be a Pixel Pro, but I'm not sure if I want to go to the XL or not anymore.
I got another year and a half before I think I'm going to upgrade my phone.
I would wait longer, but right now my phone has an annoying scratch in the screen, and I don't feel like getting it repaired.
With hardware prices the way they are right now, I'm probably not going to, yeah.
Yeah, I get that, you know, because that's the other thing, too, because, like, the base model Pixel phones, unless you get – if you only go with the 256 gig, you're only going to get 12 gigs of RAM. If you go with 512 or better, I believe you get 16 gigs.
Yeah,
I don't know whether it's going to be a
difference. How much RAM do you need on your phone?
That's a point. It's a good point, you know. But
I mean, I do a lot of crazy crap on my phone, and I don't think I've ever, you know, maxed out the RAM on it.
It's also like, too, do you need a 120 hertz screen on your tablets or phone, neither, you know.
It looks so cool.
Well, you say that people are not interested in the foldable screens and all that stuff.
Right.
Really need the price
people are interested in the foldable screens. It's just you lose all the features.
Now,
yeah,
my question is,
you don't get near the features here.
I mean, what do you think about Apple's new leasing proposals? I mean, it sounds like a lot of people are excited about this stuff. I mean, I get why you wouldn't want to do it. But I get why you would want to do it, too.
Well, essentially, you got the same kind of thing. Like, one of the things that I'm going to consider when I do upgrade my phone is I'm going through Verizon, of course. But I'm going to – on Verizon, they have the option where I can basically upgrade my phone every year if I want to. Granted, that means I'm going to be paying for phones in perpetuity. But, you know, I'm pretty much going to do that anyway because of who I am. You know, I'm a nerd.
How much do they charge you a month for that addition?
Well, it's gonna depend on the device.
Right, obviously it does, but the one you're looking at, I'm curious of how much.
So if I go with, I have to look in my account, see if I can get a little bit better deal, cause I'm just looking at straight Verizon page right now. It's $26.66 a month, for the Pixel 11 Pro XL. Now, granted, that's a base model. Let me go in. I want to, cause I'm going to update
but how it. Much that, yeah, the base model, how much is that phone itself?
Well, that's a good question, too. Let me see. It's probably over. Let's see.
Like 1100?
I think. Yeah. No, it's actually 959.
Okay, so it's close to $1,000. So.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay 26, and they're going to upgrade it every year? Like, or whenever a new model of the Pixel comes out. That's like, what, every 2 years, isn't it?
No, or do they come out? It's every year.
Oh, it's every year? So every year you, short of them upping that, you're going to probably spend like $30 to $40 a month.
Right. Now, I have to see, I'm going to look at the app instead right now. But,
so you're looking at, like, let's say $500 a year to have that Pixel phone, and if you trade it in, you're saving yourself, like, in the long run, about $500-$600, but you don't own the phone.
Right. So here's, like, the current deal that I have. Now, granted, they're saying it's saying Pixel 11, but I think you still get that deal if you choose. Let me go in here and see what happens here. But right now I get $900 off of a brand new Google Pixel 11.
By trading in your old phone?
By trading in the old phone, right.
So then how much is the Pixel 11 then? Wait, you were saying it's $950, right? For the base model?
That's for the 11 Pro. Yeah.
Wait.
Why can't I see?
So you're not going to get a Pixel for under the new Pixel for under $900 though, right?
Probably not. No, well,
I was going to say you can't trade in your phone for $900 and then he turn around and give you a Pixel plus $300 or something dollars back.
Yeah. Let me see here.
Well, what would happen if you traded your phone in? Your Pixel phone, you get it's like a $900 trade-in, and you like, you know, I'm just gonna go with the cheap-end Moto. That's $400. Like, what do they do?
$500 I can probably get free.
Or do they give you the money back, or do they just apply it as a credit?
Let's see. Oh, here we go. Okay, so here you go. Let's see. 512. For the current deal on my, if I trade my phone in currently, if we can get the 512 gig, Pixel 11 Pro XL Obsidian, my cost would be, let's see, current estimated payment is $8.33 a month for 36 months.
For 36 months?
Yeah.
So that's 3 years.
Yeah.
But then you're talking about trading it in every year, so.
Yeah. Now that's just the regular. That's not with the trade-in, I think.
That's also with you trading in your current phone.
Let's see.
You get $900 back or off, and then they break out the remaining payments at roughly $9 a month.
Now let's see what happens. 3 years. Okay. That's without the Flex upgrade. So the Flex upgrade, let's see, 36 months with Flex upgrade, it'll cost $18 a month with the Flex upgrade, which means I can upgrade any something like that. I could upgrade any time during the cycle. So basically, they bring out the Pixel 12 Pro XL, I can upgrade.
So if you don't upgrade, you're stuck paying $8. So what happens if you don't trade in your old phone? Then it's not $8.99 a month, is it?
For the Flex upgrade, no.
So, no, not for the Flex, for the regular, for just.
Oh, for the regular? No, it would be that.
Oh, just, that, so yeah. That's with a, that's not trading
in
your old phone.
I'm trading it in anyway because I don't need, because I don't cascade phones.
Okay, so you don't cascade phones, but if you're trading in your phone and you're getting $900 back, you get $900, they can't be charging you $8.99 a month. If that's what you get, if that's the cost without trading in your phone.
That's actually what they are. Yeah, that's actually what it says. So,
is that because without trading in your phone?
No, that's with.
Okay, so without trading in your phone, it's not going to be $8.99 a month.
No, it'll be more.
Yeah, do you know what it is?
No, because I'm going to trade my phone in because I ain't dumb.
Well, that's I get what you're going to do. I'm curious how much it would be without trading a phone. Like, if you were to just come to Verizon and you say, I need to get a phone. What is it, Verizon or T-Mobile?
Yeah, Verizon.
Well, whoever. And you were to say, hey, I need to get a phone. How much are you going to pay a month? Is going to be $8.99 with trading in your old
phone.
Let's see.
512 is $29.99 a month.
Without a trade-in.
Yeah.
Right.
If what I'm seeing is correct.
Yeah. So, and how much is it outright? Like 15? did you say, or is it the 950?
Let's see. The Outright is... No way, man. No way. The Outright is... For the 11 Pro XL 512 is $959. How's it the same price? Let me make this browser breaker.
Because I was going to say, if you're trading your phone, you get $900 back. Why are you paying $899 a month for 3 years? That's what? That's 36 months. You're paying.
Actually, well, you see here, that's what it is. Okay, so acting like I'm a new customer, I'm not even signed into the Verizon website on the browser here. Uh-huh. Okay. They're currently offering a $340 discount. So without the discount, that would be a $1,300 phone.
Okay, so it's a $1,300 phone.
Right, but with it, you only pay $959. So if you pay it out, right? And a lot of companies are doing that deal too. So I think, and actually, wait a minute, hold on a second. Now that I chose a different color, now change that to $1,079. Yeah, their website's fucked up, man. I'm telling you. I hate commercial website designs. 90% of them. Oh, they're painted, but.
Anyway. So, if you trade in your phone, you're roughly looking at about over the life of the new phone,
right.
You're going to end up spending about $300, right?
So, yeah, about that, yeah.
Because if it's like $899, so it's going to be like $324.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're saying $30 a month.
Yeah, and it would be
over
more
a 36 month period, you're going to be spending like $1,080.
Right.
Which is $100.
It'll be more if I pay for the flex. It'll be more if I pay for the flex upgrade, which I probably will, I think, but we'll see. But not 100% sure about that.
Now, here's a question. This is the only, and I look at this and I say, okay, I get the fact that in the end, you're going to end up spending more money over a longer period of time, but for a lot of people, you know,
he doesn't care because he gets the newest crap.
Yeah, $8 to $40 extra a month is not as problematic as trying to lay out $900 to $1,500, you know?
Right,
And so I can get that, but then my next question is, does that include a protection plan in there, or do you have to pay, you gotta pay extra for that, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's like $6, you know.
And then if you scratch the, if you break the glass or scratch it, do you have to pay for that at the end of it?
Well, actually, here's the cool thing, too, because it just happened to my son, because we had his charge port on his Galaxy S24, decided it was going to go tits up. It's all through Asurion, okay? So it used to be, in a lot of cases, the way that it used to work is you used to walk into Verizon, and they just hand you a new phone.
Right.
Now you gotta go through Asurion. Now Asurion goes through You Break I Fix, right? And when it was going through Verizon directly, you'd pay $50 and you'd get a brand new phone, essentially. That $50 was the copay. But now you walk in, you set up the appointment through You Break I Fix, walk in. As long as you got the insurance, they do the work, you pay nothing. So, if you fix, you're paying $6 a month and you break a screen, say, here's a great example. If you, I broke the USB connector on one of my old iPads, and it ended up being better for me to just buy a new iPad than to have the connector fixed, because it was going to cost as much as a new iPad. Okay, so essentially, the repairs are crazy expensive too, and it'd be at the same similar place the U-Brick I fix. You know, so it's kind of crazy, but.
Wait, so U-Brick I fix, right?
Right.
They have a brick and mortar store that you go into?
Yep. Yep. And you get it done right away. Yeah. My son, probably walked in and had his phone back, with a repaired, USB port, in probably 30 minutes.
And how much do they pay per month for that?
It's like $6.
Six bucks, depending on the phone.
Yeah.
That business model doesn't sound sound. To have a brick and mortar store that people could go into for only $6 a month. I mean,
yeah.
It seems kind of to have that place and then have it stocked with whatever, to be able to do that turnaround. How is that sustainable?
That's their contract through Assurion, through Verizon, okay? But you gotta remember, U-Brick I Fix isn't just there for that. U-Brick I Fix is anybody. So, like, you can bring in, like, your shitty Motorola phone, and they'll fix that now. They're gonna charge you way more than that.
Okay, so U-Brick I Fix is... Assurance has contracted out with a bunch of these...
Yeah, basically that's exactly
repair what shops. Happened.
Right, right.
Okay. I thought that was their repair shops that they were setting
up.
No.
It's basically all subcontracted out to hell. So, I mean, you know, so I'm sure like say if you walked in with your uninsured phone, they're going to charge you through the nose. And that's how they make the money. You know?
So I think the way, like, I know, with the kids, sometimes their phones have broken, and when they go through the insurance through T-Mobile, they usually send out a new phone. You transfer your stuff over, and then you send the old phone back.
See, and I don't even know why they don't do it that way, because to me, it would be a lot more efficient. Yeah, that's true too. That's true too. Or how bad it is.
Yeah. A smashed screen, I mean, you know, it looks bad, but it's honestly one of the easier things to replace.
Yeah.
Broken port, it really depends on the phone and how it's built. Some of them, it's, you know, there's a single connector and there's a daughter board.
There's
so
also something else to think about with those too. A lot of times, depending on which phone it is and how waterproof it is, a lot of times after you repair it, ain't it's waterproof.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, because you can't guarantee the same kind
of. And a lot of those warranties, insurances, they don't pay out. If there's water damage.
That's true, too, in some of them, yeah. I will say this. I'm amazed at how my phone went through the mud test that was the Mammoth March
Jackie,
I went through.
I thought I should inform you that Joel was propositioning me earlier. He wanted me to kiss him in inappropriate places.
Ah, come on, man.
Wow, man. Joel, what's going on here? Always in the gutter with you.
Anywho.
Well, she says you're not paying me enough for that.
That's true. Anywho, moral of the story here is I'm probably going to end up getting a new phone, mostly because it's going to end up saving me money on my cell phone bill.
She says DDR5 money at least.
Yeah, right.
Wait, why is it saving you money on your? Why is it saving you money?
Because the payment on a new phone is less than the payment I'm already paying. It's just the way it is working out this time. It doesn't always work out that way, but that's the way it's working out this time. But yeah, because we're getting this is also a major thing last week. My wife was out dashing with Luke, right? Made an oopsie, missed the step off a curb and crashed out, and now her back's all fucked up.
She didn't twist her ankle, did she?
No, it's her back.
That sucks.
Yeah, so we had an x-ray done at ER. The ER just basically found a pre-existing healed, it was a compression fracture because she has osteopenia.
Right.
Which is not osteoporosis, but kind of similar to it, you know?
Right.
So, and they couldn't find anything else. Right. So they send her home and they had say, oh, just take Tylenol. All right. Meanwhile, she's like in agony, right? In agony. So I took off 2 more hours of work to go with her to our primary care. They sent her home with Vicodin. That didn't scratch it. All right. He calls in a subscription to gabapentin to take in conjunction with the Vicodin. That didn't scratch it. So she calls back on Saturday or Sunday to the triage nurse at our primary care, and they set her up with an appointment with a spinal specialist. And they did an MRI, and they found some more, but I'm kind of waiting for – it mustn't be serious. Otherwise, they would have said, hey, we need to come back in or we need to go check in the hospital or something. Because they said, well, just follow up with your primary care. And follow up with the primary care is not until January. All right. But anyway, but they gave her a prescription for prednisone, a steroid. She finally was moving around doing some things today. So, I mean, she's been walking and stuff, but not like doing any housework or anything like that, you know, but it's like, oh man, not what I need. Not what I need.
Not what she needs.
No, not what she needs either. I'm guessing
that there was soft tissue damage then to the area, and
it's nothing. I don't think it's anything. Can't be anything major, because if it was, then they would have called her in and say, hey, we can give you an injection or something, which that would be probably in the next phase, because it's not, I know that there was not, like, her spine was in alignment, you know, wasn't like she had a vertebrae crushed or anything like that. So, I mean, it's just like super inconvenient, you know, cause guess who's fucking walking the dog all the time?
Who, you?
Yeah, of course.
Well, he should be happy to walk the dog. It gets you extra steps in.
You know, I don't mind it too much, you know, cause like today is in my half marathon training plan, it is a rest day. So all I was doing just getting steps in. That's all I was doing today. Tomorrow I got a 5 mile run, 10 miles scheduled Saturday. I'm going to miss the longest run in the training block though, because I'm going to be, at Cuyahoga Valley National Park hiking 20 miles. But then right after that, I start going into the taper before the half marathon in October. So, each week the mileage starts to progress less. So, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think I may figure out a way to scratch up enough money to get a pair of ASICS Super Blast 3s. Just I liked them so much at the ASICS event. The Nova Blast 6 are working pretty well, although tomorrow I might strap on my Hokas. Just to see how they're working, because they're still in great shape yet. So, and it's also a shorter run too. But dude, man, 2 successive days, 2 legendary people have passed away, man.
I mean, no kidding, huh? It's terrible.
Dolly Parton and Tim Curry.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, they both made it to 80, man, though. Yep. I mean, if I make it to 80, I'm going to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, but Tim Curry's been living rough.
He has.
15 years or so.
What? Didn't he have Alzheimer's?
No, he had a stroke.
Okay, that's it. Okay, yeah.
And he had a surgery a few years back to relieve the pressure on his brain caused by the stroke, which had left him in a wheelchair, and he had a lot of trouble talking.
Right.
So.
Dolly was, I think they said it was cancer.
Yeah, she'd been fighting cancer for a while, but it looked like she was coming out good, and she had a lot of plans for the future, so, yeah.
She did. She did, but well, I could kind of say this to an extent with Tim Curry, but definitely with Dolly. I don't know anybody who utterly hates Dolly Parton. I mean, everybody loves her. You know, I mean...
It's hard to hate Dolly Parton.
No, and the thing I always admire about her was she never shared her politics. She was an entertainer first. And I can't really say that 100% about Tim Curry, but honestly, I don't know what his politics were either. And I don't care. You know, but it's like, you know, and, you know, but you got Tim Curry with some classic roles, Dr. Frankenfurter, he's the concierge in Home Alone 2. You know, he was on
he was in Annie.
Earth 2, that horrible TV series. What else was he in? He was in a lot, man.
Congo. Muppets.
Yeah, that's right. He was in the Pirate Muppet one.
He did a lot of voice work.
In It.
Fern Gully. It.
Yeah. And a lot of the Monty Python
stuff. Adam's Family.
Street Fighter.
Was he in Street Fighter?
He wasn't in Street Fighter. I'm thinking of, what's his name?
Wait. You're thinking of, Gomez.
Yeah. What's his name?
This is like his last role before he died.
Yeah. Street Fighter back in the, what, 90s?
That would be, John Astin.
What? Yeah, Raul Julia. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, Raul Julia. That's right. That's right. Yeah, because he was in the movie for the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he played what, Bison, I think, right?
Yes. Yes.
Who was Cam, what's her face in the Street Fighter movie? Aren't they making another Street Fighter movie? Yeah, they are. Another Street Fighter movie.
Wait, didn't it come out?
Trailer came out on the 20th. It's, wait a minute. No. The new Street Fighter movie is October 16th.
The new Mortal Kombat came out.
Yeah. Jason Momoa is Blanka in the new one. And... Guile is Cody Rhodes. Bison is Dave Dasmal. I can't say his name. 50 Cent's Balrog.
It's coming out when?
October 16th.
October. Dawson. Is that the one you were saying, Dawson?
No, the guy who played Bison. Dasmal Chien. I don't know. Never heard of the guy. Oh, he's in the new Dune.
Why am I not seeing Bison on? David Dasmal Chien.
Yeah, you can't say it either.
Malch. Das Malchen. David Das Malchen.
Vidyut Jamal is awesome.
Ba-da-ba. Ah.
Maybe I'll see it when it comes on screen.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay to go see that movie in the theater.
Well, I gotta go see Spider-Man. Did you see Odyssey yet?
No.
Did you see Odyssey, Joe?
I have not.
Oh, it's really good.
I can't bring myself to pay what it costs to go see a movie nowadays in the theater.
How much it costs you? It's like 10, 12 bucks here.
Well, it's not just the movie. It's also like, you know, because I want a little popcorn, a little drinky drink. You know, it's like, what, $10 for a soda?
That's $20 for all that stuff now.
That's true.
That's what he gets you, Joel. Just go in and,
hide some protein crackers in my pocket, right?
There you go.
I got some wild protein crackers, classic cheddar, and they were pretty tasty. Grove City, let's see, AMC Grove City 14. Just like less than a mile from my house. Brand new day. Are you kidding? They only got one screening a day?
Of what?
It's been in the theater for a while now.
Yeah, they only got 9:30 time. Well, I guess that might be the only one that's left.
Maybe I'll get lucky and be able to catch it in one of the dollar theaters.
Do they still have dollar theaters?
We don't have them anymore.
I have no idea. I'd have to go looking.
I'll just wait for it to hit Disney, man. I haven't even had a chance to keep caught up with Strange New Worlds yet. I'm like
that's not in the theater though.
No, it's on Paramount Plus. And
too busy training, huh?
Well, actually, yeah, a little bit. Of that. Like, no, it's like I also ended living in the retro arcade too. I'm not doing that anymore either. Because after I do half marathon, I'm doing the hot chocolate run, the 15K version of that. So that'll be a fun race because I have no doubts I'll make that. I've already ran that when you really think about it. Let's see, what's 9? Well, I will have, let's see, 10 miles in K. And 10 miles in kilometers is 16 kilometers, so. And that is the strangest thing in the running world is they're the ones that use multiple, like, a half marathon is 13.1 miles or what is that in, I think it's what, 21K? At 21K. A little bit over 21K. I'll have a 17K run in before I go enter into the taper. So, the current plan I'm doing with half marathon training does not have me run the full half marathon in training. And I'm okay with that. Honestly, I don't need to do it. I'm going to estimate, well, I'd love to get a 2-hour half marathon. I think it's going to be more like 2.5. So we'll see how it works. I will say the course is extremely flat. And everyone I've heard talking about the course, they made some slight changes to it this year. But everyone that I've heard talk about, because some of the parts of the course is exactly the same. Like the main stretch, you go down Broad Street, down past the State House, and that's extremely flat all the way out to Bexley. And then you go through a little piece of Bexley, and then you kind of run past Nationwide Children's Hospital because that's who the race is for. So you'll in every I think every mile they have a kid or something that that's kind of on the sidelines watching you. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do the full marathon next year or not. I probably won't, but I might do the half again. So, yeah, so it goes first 4 miles. You go 4 miles out to Bexley, and then you go through looks like Capital University area. Then you go back down Broad for mile 7. Then you make some zigzags through Old Town East, down past the Children's Hospital. Then I run all the way down to German Village, which it, from mile 10 through 13, I've ran it before, essentially, because that's part on the hot chocolate run. So, but you have the marathon mile champions, they call it, and they have all these people along the way. Plus, of course, they got me extra money for having my finish time engraved on the medal. And it cost me $100 to run this race. but it'll be fun. And I don't remember if I said it in a previous show, but I've already signed up for my first Mammoth March for next year. Gonna do Wisconsin. 30 miles. Again. I'm excited about that. I've actually never been to Wisconsin at all, so I think that'll be fun.
That's cool.
I gotta hopefully get my wife a job though.
Why do you have to get your wife a job? Shouldn't your wife get your wife a job?
She should, but she's not been really looking hard. Of course, it's been hard. Like a lot of the things that she could do, let's face it, probably replaced by AI now. You know, data entry, not necessarily replaced by AI outright, but yeah, the Mammoth March in Wisconsin is in Cascade, Wisconsin. It's about 8 hours away, I think. So that'll be a drive. And I gotta start looking for a place. I may have to, if I want a hotel, I may have to drive from Eau Claire or something like that. There ain't a lot of hotels near Cascade.
Just take a tent, sleep in the trail.
Well, that might be an option. Well, and that kind of goes with some of the other things I've been kind of struggling a little bit with too. Our insurance is through Aetna, right? Our health insurance. Well, Aetna uses a company by the name of Evacord for pre-authorizations, right? And I've been having a devil of a time getting all my my sleep study stuff scheduled, so I can determine if I even need to have CPAP therapy at all anymore. So I'm down to 207 right now, and so I may not need to use CPAP at all. But so when I saw my sleep doctor, they're like, okay, we'll schedule you for a split study. And the split study is where they do half the study without the machine, half the study with the machine. They wouldn't approve that because I'm too healthy, essentially. They said, well, your apnea is not bad enough to have to do it in a lab, so we want you to do the home study first. All right, well, the thing is my doctor still wants me to do the titration study, which that titration is where they start you off at a pressure and they start lowering the pressure until you get no more apneas.
Hold on.
And that one, the only way you can do it is in a lab. So I'm going to – actually, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to probably call them back and say, hey, what's the hang-up? Why do I have to wait until, like, October to get this done? Because right now I was supposed to have answers on this early next month, but now I'm not going to know until November. It's going to take 6 months for me to get this shit straightened out. Thank you, Evercore. Thank you. Wonderful health insurance through my company. Yeah, look up Evercore. They also have the nickname Evocore. So, yeah.
That's just the way healthcare works. I mean, you know.
Shouldn't be.
I had a test come back from the VA where, you know, I had to send them some poop on a stick.
Cologuard?
Huh?
Cologuard?
Okay. And they said that they found blood in my poop, and now I have to go in and get a camera shoved up there.
They would have saved money if they just done the camera in the first place.
Yeah, but they were hoping to save time and money by not having to shove a camera up there. And I appreciate the attempt to not have a camera shoved up my ass.
Honestly, that's not the worst part.
The worst part is the prep.
Absolutely.
I get that. Yeah. My dad told me the same thing. And I appreciate the attempt to not have to prep just as much as I appreciate the attempt to not have to have a camera shoved up my ass.
It's a good point, too. You know, for me, it's... The diet part of it doesn't bother me as much as the elimination part. Oh my god. Ugh. I'm telling you. And I think I got, another year before I got to go get another one? Or, no, 2 years. Because I just had one this year.
But they were supposed to call me back. And if they don't call me back by the end of the week, I'm going to end up having to call them.
Yay. Isn't that great?
Yeah, so, and I don't know what their scheduling looks like, but it's the VA, so I assume sometime between now and the heat death of the universe,
right,
I should get an appointment.
So you see here, I was doing a search. I plugged the name, the address of the location of the man before.
Is that a problem on my end, Dan, or is that a problem on Joel's end?
It sounds like on his end because I heard it too.
Okay.
Network issue, Joel.
Heard what?
You sounding like ass.
Like a robot.
Yeah.
The best I can do, the closest to the venue, is call what it's. See, that's the thing with Expedia now. It's not just hotels now. It's like Vrbo, too. All right? And it's not a place you've ever heard of. It's called Beautiful Tent at Camp Northern Lights for $95 a night. It's basically a glamping tent, right, with a fire pit for $95 a night. At least it's June, and it would be relatively comfortable, I would think. I might do that just because it's only $95 a night, because hotels can be ridiculously expensive. Yeah, we'll see. I got to figure out if I want to. Yeah, that's actually Expedia. Oh, Vrbo. Oh, I didn't know this. Vrbo, a part of Expedia Group. That's interesting. I did not know that. But does this place have electric? That's my question. Electricity and water. Okay. All right. That might be worth it. It's in a beautiful location. And at least there's a bed in the tent versus sleeping on the ground.
What kind of bed's in the tent?
It looks like a queen-size bed.
Oh, wait, this is a yurt, right?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, it's too hot for that shit.
In June, it could be.
Hot for that shit in Texas.
Yeah, always in Texas, yeah. Now, see, I do have, in...
I would have to take glamping to a whole different level here in Texas.
Oh, you're not kidding.
From like June through October.
Actually, it might be better if you do the quiet, secluded camper cabin at Camp Northern Lights. That's looks like at the same location.
Honestly, if I wanted to go camping, I probably wouldn't have left the damn military.
But it's $58 more a night. Actually, it looks like it's in an RV.
Because they'd have paid for it.
And you have to eat the beautiful MRE.
MREs weren't bad.
Or the totem.
Okay, some of the MREs weren't bad.
As long as you don't get the veggie omelet, right?
There were other ones that were pretty ass.
Now, when you were in, did they have the five fingers of death? Or was it the four fingers of death? The hot dog one.
That sounds disgusting. Don't get me wrong. There were some of them that were complete garbage, but there's nothing like the jalapeno cheddar.
Oh, the dip, yeah.
And then the
cheese.
The peanut butter. Dog.
Dude,
don't
pull
my TV down.
Buy like packets of MRE peanut butter. I would buy packets of MRE peanut butter because it lasts a long time too.
Peanut butter in general doesn't tend to go bad if you get it right.
Yep, it
takes a very long time to go bad.
Now I have tried. I haven't gotten like the full MRE that had it in it, but I've had the pizza that's in the pizza MRE, and it's pretty
Sounds
ass.
Disgusting.
It's
Sounds
pretty
disgusting.
Ass.
I'm sure the MREs have changed since I was in. You know, it has been 20 plus years, but Jelly Mac was always awesome.
Let's see. I think it's Bridgeford. Yeah, the beef jerky people makes the MRE pizza, the ready to eat pizza.
That sounds ass.
Yeah, Meyer had them 1 year in their camping section, and of course Joel had to try them.
Oh, you didn't.
And yeah, I ate them cold. You can buy them on Amazon too if you really want to.
You shouldn't have ate them cold. You shouldn't have ate them hot. That sounds disgusting. And look, I'm a fan of pizza. That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, they also had like yeah, I think it's also was an MRE one too. It had like shredded it was like bread with shredded barbecue beef in the middle.
That was okay.
That one wasn't too bad. Probably would be better if you had the FRH with it. Because a lot of that stuff, you know, barbecue pork wraps. So it's basically barbecue pork in a, well actually they had barbecue pork wraps that was, barbecue pork in the tortilla.
Looking at individual things that you see in them. Sure, the Mexican style chicken stew isn't great, but I'm sure it's edible. Italian sausage is probably meh edible.
Yeah.
Elbow macaroni and tomato sauce is probably meh edible. Rice and beans. I remember Mexican rice and beans, and I can't believe they called it Mexican rice and beans, but it'd keep you alive. and didn't make you throw up. Spaghetti with beef and sauce was ass.
But I ordered a random one time I ordered a random MRE off of Amazon.
They sent you ass.
Well, no, they sent me the one that had the Starkist lemon pepper tuna in it. I'm like, God, that's ass. Yeah, I'm like, I could buy that shit at the grocery store.
Beef taco filling, that's ass. Chicken stir fry, that's okay. I'm guessing on some of them, and some of them existed when I was at, the vanilla pound cake is dry as hell.
Yes. But
you get the peanut butter with it, it's okay.
I think I had the, which one did I think I had the spinach Alfredo fettuccine, which that was ass.
Grilled jalapeno flavored beef patty. Grilled jalapeno pepper jack flavored beef patty.
At all.
Grilled jalapeno pepper jack beef patty, that sounds decent.
But it's like a Salisbury steak with jalapenos in it.
Which sounds decent. Not great, decent. Like a Cinnabon shelf stable, that sounds super fucking dry, like you'd have to doctor that.
Chili with beans would be pretty bad, because canned chili is usually pretty bad.
Applesauce pound cake. Super dry, you'd have to doctor it. Lemon loaf with white icing. Whoa, oh my God, that sounds really dry.
Menu 7, brisket entree.
Hold on. Herb and cheese swirl roll. Oh my God. I don't know what you can put on that to make it more edible. It looks like a rock.
You can probably put the cheese spread on it.
Oatmeal chocolate chunk cookie. That's going to be dry as hell, but super shelf stable. And I bet tasty.
The one I always want to try. Steve1989 from MREinfo.com. He eats anything, dude. But the one I always want to try, he had this chocolate-covered...
mocha-flavored energy bar. Cookies. I would eat the shit out of that.
That, yeah, First Strike bar, yeah.
72 See, packs of chicken noodle with vegetables. I bet that'd be good.
Chicken stir fry would be okay. Well, that's weird because I'm looking up the 2025 MRE menus from MREinfo.com. So I guess that's the current one. So the chili with beans comes with cheddar cheese spread, crackers, cornbread, pepperoni cheese filled crackers, aka combos. Carbohydrate electrolyte beverage powder doesn't tell you which one. Hot beverage bag.
I miss the days when I knew enough military people in supply where occasionally, like
get the good ones.
Pallets of MREs would fall off the back of trucks.
Now menu 5 sounds good. Menu 5 sounds good. Chicken chunks. With the apple cinnamon First Strike bar, cheddar cheese spread tortillas, corn nuts. It says toasted corn kernels, but corn nuts. Teriyaki meat snack stick. That I've heard tastes like an eraser.
Not edible.
Yeah. Beef strips and tomato sauce. That sounds good.
Hot sauce and pepper. Fries was edible.
Meatballs and marinara. I might have to just order a case once. You know what I mean, you don't want to eat them damn things any longer than you have to.
Depends on whether or not you like pooping.
Yeah. Although I've heard the gum is generally a laxative.
Oh, they tell you that this and that's a laxative, the chocolate's a laxative, the gum's a laxative, blah, blah, blah. Bullcrap.
Yeah. I can't make it. That's That's why they get the other nickname, Meals Rarely Excreted. My wife has enough problems going to the bathroom anyway. I would never want to give her an MRE. I wouldn't mind finding, like, some of the older, like, the MCIs had the, like, those compressed cornflake bars and stuff. I'd love to try one of those.
Bars.
I guess today's National Dog Day. So now, happy National Dog Day to my dog who got to walk 5 miles with me today. Total. Yeah, today was the day, like, on my walk this morning and on my walk this evening. You know, I had to keep telling him, put the fucking stick down. Put the fucking stick down. He kept picking up every stick. He tried to eat a cicada, then finally realized that's probably not something he should eat, and he finally spit it out. At least I think it was a cicada. That's what it looked like. And sounded like.
I mean, you're trying to eat a black widow or, you know,
or goose poop. Because that's the other thing, like you, there's multiple retention ponds all around my neighborhood, right? And of course the geese all hang out at it, and all around them there's geese shit on the concrete. And every time we're out for a walk, that dog will find it. I have to tell him, leave it. He will. But, oh, no way. No way. We lost a third, man.
Who did we lose? Who did we lose?
He was in V.
What's their name?
Michael Wright.
Cut out last time you tried to say it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Michael Wright, who was in...
That's the show, gentlemen. I'll talk to you later.
See ya. He was in... he was that old? I guess he was. I know he was in V. He played the gangster that was in V. He was all... So the guy who, the principal, he was the main antagonist in that, with that Zin Belushi movie. Streamers, a few other things. I don't know if you can count that in the third though, because that happened before Dolly died.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to ask my nephew, I already seen this statement from Dollywood, but my nephew works at Dollywood.
Oh, yeah? Anyway.
Yeah, I think he runs the Wild Eagle roller coaster. It's better than his previous job. His previous job was working at the car wash.
We went from the car wash to Dolly World, huh?
Yep.
Oh, we gotta wrap it up, huh?
Yes, we do.
I'm gonna play us out. You have a good week and stay hydrated, Joel.
Absolutely.
There you go.
I am sure.
Oh my God, it's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community.
you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy.
You been running lately, Dan?
No, I haven't, because I have damaged my Achilles tendon.
That makes it
really hard for me to run, and I've been trying. Now, I can ride bike, and I got to be careful with the walking, but running really, like, destroys it.
I got a, I think it started when I ran with my Nova Blast 6s, and I think I screwed up when I was putting them on and didn't have my sock fully pulled up. So my right foot, not where the Achilles is, more down on the top of the foot, I got a blister. And it doesn't really, once I get my shoes on, it doesn't really hurt, and doesn't hurt when I'm running. But every once in a while, it's still healing, and it cracks a bit, and every once in a while, I'll get a little bit of blood running down my foot. But it's on the mend, even though I'm trying to clock miles in, because that's the thing, is that I'm not above walking a little bit in this half marathon, but I want to run as much. I want to get as best time as I can possibly can, if you know what I mean. You know, I don't want to. I know I'm not going to win it, so that's not a question. You know, because there's no way I can run that kind of pace. I don't want to come in last place in my age division, if you know what I mean.
Well,
so. And I think I'll be there. Now my buddy, the guy that I ran the 10K trail race with, he just ran his second half marathon, and his first half marathon he got 2 hours and 2 minutes. His second one he got sub 2 hours. He got 1 hour and 54 minutes. He did awesome. I don't think I'm going to be close to that. You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Is it talking? Is it talking? I could hear it going ding a ding a ding.
I don't know, man.
I hear it goes like broop, 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 1,147.
Wow.
What?
Happy birthday, Linux.
Give me a minute. Huh? Fuck. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounded good.
No, of course we can.
You sound good there.
Sound better than Joel.
Kiss my ass.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate the offer, though. I'll pass. I didn't know you swung that way.
I set my running a PR Saturday, distance anyway. Ran 9 miles. Gonna run 10 this weekend.
All right. So this is
I set a PR for a warm up on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started with 275 for 5.
Nice.
I'm a horrible human being.
Nice.
So what was after the warm-up?
Oh, I went down in weight.
Oh.
I'm not stupid.
Was this at the gym or was this in your garage?
Oh, this was at the gym.
Oh, you have a spotter?
No.
Oh. Do they have like the bench that will prevent you from killing yourself?
I just run with no clips. That's all.
There you go. Well, I just expect one day my family will come out and find me dead in a garage because I don't.
Yeah. Oh no! In my garage, I got myself the weight bench that has the arms on it, so I don't die.
Is that something you added to the bench, or was it part of the bench?
I went out and got one after a couple of years. I used to occasionally do 300 out in my garage with, just running no clips and things like that, and then decided that I was getting older and didn't want to end up, my kids finding me out there dead.
So, with your leg snapped?
Well, with my neck snapped.
I think I'm what up to like, I think I did like 707 on my heavy set in the leg press. My legs are stupid strong, which is good.
I don't do the leg press because I don't like the range of motion.
Yeah, there isn't much on it.
I'll do the hack squat.
If it wasn't so damn brutal on my shoulders, I would too.
I'll do the hack squat. Occasionally, once in a great while, I will pull out the belt and I'll do an actual squat. But mostly I'll stick to the hack squat and the deadlifts.
I do need to start doing some deadlifts here and there.
Jay, there isn't enough people for you to sit in the listening booth. Come join us.
Yeah, no shit, man.
Otherwise, it's just Joel talking about fitness.
Nah.
Let's start the show, actually. Jay wants to join us.
Yeah.
More than welcome to join us. Let's here it goes. This is 1147.